Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Hello, brains, and I want to welcome you back to On the Edge with April Mahoney. You're home. Yes, right here. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Baby, let me tell you, you are in for a treat today. I was so honored and blessed to be in the presence of Prophet Michael Dalton this weekend for their conference, Prophetic Edge. No, what was the name of it? I blew it.
That's right. No, Prophetic Edge.
Prophetic Edge. And I knew it was a synergy because they were sharp and pointed, just like On the Edge. They had three, four days? I didn't get to go to everything, shame on me, but 3 or 4 days of amazing worship, testimony, healing, prophesizing down here at the Legacy Center, a brand new facility in San Diego, California, that is over the moon. I've never seen a campus like this. I've been to many, but a healing and a worshiping place of history. It was unbelievable. Then we went out on a big old boat and had lunch. Then we came back to the center and he closed it. Also got an opportunity to hear his father, Larry Dalton, speak. But what we are going to talk about today is the word. Why people are afraid of the word. Understanding what a non-denominational church is. Understanding what prophecy is and what is a prophet, healing, seeking, speaking. Oh my goodness, let me tell you, y'all better get ready because it's about to get on. You might get the shouting and get the Holy Ghost right on through your computer screen. And he is a humble soul, and that laugh, oh my God, it is wonderful. So without further ado, thank you so much, Prophet Michael Dalton. Now, how would you like for me to refer to you?
Well, you know, I feel like that moment when they were trying to figure out whether to say Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay. My mama named Michael, call me Michael.
Oh, you are such a sweetheart. Thank you so much, Michael. You know, I went in and did my history, and I tell you, I could have been 4 or 5 days trying to research you. You were called to the ministry and to preach at the age of 16.
Yes, ma'am.
Or a fourth generation PK. For y'all don't know what that is, that's a preacher's kid. That's a lot of responsibility. Oh, yes. And then at the age of 22, you started to travel the world, not only just to understand the word of God, but to share it. Then you got the gift of prophecy. Then you got the gift of healing. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, let me tell you. So go back and color in some of the white spaces for me and my brains.
Well, I'm thrilled to be with you. Number one is an honor because just your spirit, your heart, and the way you're impacting people to break loose into another realm of living. Folks are made better just by being around you. And your impact in this generation is just phenomenal. So it's an honor for me. And just to be with all of them brains, these brains that are out there. Mm-hmm. Listen, in ministry, we get surrounded by hearts, but very few brains. And so I'm glad to be with the brains because that's how you get stuff done. At 16, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to travel the world and you're going to prophesy. Mm. And I said, Lord, I know what prophets are from scripture, but I don't see them today. What does that look like? And that's where it began for me so simply. The Lord said, hear what I tell you, say what I say, and don't let anybody else add to it. Live simply by that. That's how it began. I began to tell people, here's what I hear God saying. And people just said, wait. God don't talk like that anymore. Wait, you're saying too much. And yet it was coming to pass. So I thank God. I thank God he spoke to me while I was young enough not to let old people mess me up. That's how I started. Yes, ma'am.
And it was amazing because you were indoctrinated into the faith by your father, who is a preacher as well. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of responsibility. You know, the light is magnified on preachers' kids.
Yes.
You can't do nothing without somebody saying something. But you took it a step further. You got into the realm of healing and prophesizing and teaching. How did you develop that? Or how did God instill that in you?
That's a great question. One, I thank my father, my aunts, my mom, my family. They were very gracious in this regard. They knew that God had called us. They knew that the hand of God was on our life, but they let us be kids. They told everybody, your kids get to play ball, our kids get to play ball. Your kids make mistakes, our kids make mistakes. And he told us at home, I want you to know God, but I want you to be kids. So they never put that extra pressure that I think a lot of PKs get, where they don't get to be real. They have to be phony in front of the church. They have to pretend their family is perfect. You know, they have to shout every time the music plays and lift their hands when they feel broken. And we weren't pressed to do that. We were told just be real and learn God. What really began was as I began to say yes to God, I didn't know it was different. But in our history, my family always walked in miracle signs and wonders. It was normal for us to see healings. It was normal for us to see the power of God flow in people getting cancers removed and tumors disappearing and signs and wonders. So that was our normal. So when the Lord began to say to me, I want you to lay hands on the people when you pray, I thought it was normal. I didn't know. Now, here's the crazy thing. All right, all you brains, I want you to think about this with me. I didn't know I was different till people acted like I was different.
Wow.
I thought God talking to me was normal until folk who come to church every Sunday, who's supposed to hear God, when they act shocked, it made me question hearing God. When they act shocked that somebody got healed, I started to wonder, is God really a healer? I didn't question it until the people I thought believed it acted surprised. Some of us need to realize we act so shocked when God moves that even God is shocked we believe it.
You know what? And I'm telling you, brains, when Michael lays hands on you, baby, you feel like ice cream on a hot summer day. You just melt. You just melt. I mean, he was walking on folks' heads. They was just falling out all over the place. Okay? I remember the first time I got the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what to do. I felt like somebody had a can opener and opened up the top of my head.
Yeah.
And fire shot through my entire body. Mm. And I got to speaking in tongues and twitching. I had no idea what to expect. And my husband and my daughter was looking like, oh, Lord, we're going to have to take her to the ER. And I laid there, and I tell you, I have never changed.
That's right.
That you know, it was so amazing. What does that do to you? What is that charge that you feel when you are able to be that conduit of electricity that transforms people's lives?
I think the greatest thing in the world is not just to see God move, but that God allows you the privilege of feeling his presence flow through to another. That is the greatest gift God gives us, to partner with him, to cooperate with him. What I love most about the Spirit of God is he doesn't play favorites. Anybody who wants him, he'll touch you. Anybody who will yield, he'll flow through you. He's not looking for titles. He's not looking for names. He's looking for anybody who will say yes. That's what I love. But I love to feel his presence. Well, I like what you said, like ice cream melting on a warm day.
That was to you. That was you. And I, you know, I just felt it all through the room. I spoke tongues. My tongue got tied. You have a non-denominational church that is multicultural. I'm telling you, brains, it is the rainbow. You got everybody, and everyone is just there for the word. Yes. They are not there for pomp and circumstance. They're not looking for a certain thing. You know, what I loved about even offering was soft and gentle. Now you go into a lot of these prosperity churches and, you know, it takes away from the authenticity of what we are seeking, because God was a pauper.
Yeah.
He had nappy hair, raggedy clothes, and bare feet. So when you are in this multicultural dimension of people, how do you find it so welcoming? Because I'm going to tell you, you know, Black folks tend to lend with Black folks. They don't tend to venture out. How did you reach out and just envelop all of these wonderful people from all over the world?
Well, you know, the thing I love is what you said. When you look at people, people become homogeneous. We only like to be around what looks like us. Mm-hmm. But that's not because of lack of love. That's because of fear. We have been taught fear so long, we don't trust anyone who looks different. So rather than risk the rejection, let me stay comfortable with people who I know understand my history and believe in my process. But when you look at nature, in a garden, 10 kinds of flowers, in a field, 9 kinds of trees. When you're flying over a land, you see every kind of animal running in the beauty of the sunlight. So God made the earth in the multifaceted, multiplicited way of beauty without restriction. So for me, I said, God, I want ministry on earth to look like heaven. And if heaven is all the nations and all the people, we got work to do. So the first thing the Lord said to me is make everybody comfortable. Make them comfortable. When you let people come into a house, if you hug them and greet them and you let them know their family, they feel comfortable. Second, let the music represent every culture.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
If you don't say
all was on fire,
wasn't they? Woo! I felt like James Brown got up and shouted hallelujah and Rick James got saved. That's what
Yes, absolutely. 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 And you know, the children. And I saw, you know, I was trying to, you know, because when you in the spirit, you're supposed to be in your spirit, you and God. You ain't supposed to be looking around other folks' business. You ain't supposed to have your camera out doing all that kind of stuff. It's a very sacred space. But I did look out the side of my eye and I saw how you reached out to this young man. He was probably your age when he started. And you told him that he was going to preach, that he was going to be a prophet. He was going to be a young man of God. I saw also Dub that sat next to me and he poured into me like a river. Yes, he did. You know, he read me like a cheap Jackie novel, Jackie Collins novel from cover to cover. I was scared to death. But when people have that insight, but when you looked at Dub, he was a former rapper.
That's right.
Young white guy, tattoos, all of that. And he has a very keen way of connecting with Source, because when he hears God, his head turns.
That's right.
Okay? You see, I don't miss nothing. His head turned. And I could hear, it's like he's turning up the volume. It's like God is speaking to him. And with his work with the United Nations, how did you get involved with the United Nations? Because, see, Brains, you don't realize what that is. It is uniting the nations. And you had spoke to me and told me that I was going to reach many nations, and I am, and there are many more. How did you make that connection, and how did you bring Doug into that to find his own way?
Well, Doug Alexander is an international minister and government counselor who has been doing that for many years. So Doug wasn't there as like part of our ministry. He's a brother in ministry. So he's been doing this on his own for years. And that's what I love. The Lord said to me a long time ago, as you go through the nations, find those that have a heart for nations and cultures and connect with them based on their understanding of the kingdom of God, that everybody is valuable, that everybody is important, and that everybody can change the world. So we connected at a conference some time ago, and now we've just been doing great things together. But he is a, I call it a kingdom statesman, working from the United Nations, changing culture.
He really is. And he's putting, shining a light on young people and letting them know that it is okay to follow God. Okay?
Yes.
At an early age. because you'll dodge a whole lot of bullets, let me tell you.
That's right. And let me just throw this out. I love what you said. When you looked around the room, there were white, black, Hispanic, Asian, island. We had people who were very wealthy, multi-millionaires, to those who had been homeless not long ago. Mm-hmm. We had those in their late 70s, early 80s, down to babies running around who were in their mother's arms and receiving. The idea of the kingdom of God to me is when you break cultural and break economic barriers and bring everybody into the presence of God. Until we're doing that, we're just playing games.
Well, you know, they're playing checkers and they ain't playing chess.
Yes, ma'am.
Because there's no strategy. What is the strategy that we should live by now? You know, Prophet Dalton, I get scared. Mm-hmm. I had this conversation with you, you know, and you said you can't live in fear.
Nope.
Fear was not designed by God.
That's right. But
let me tell you, Satan was his most perfect angel. And that brother is busy with, mm-hmm. with the COVID, with all of the social unrest, with the political, with the financial. How do we find solace? How do we find peace?
That's a great question. I think the greatest battle that we have right now is to change perspective. See, for us, what we're often doing now as people of God is we're living on the defense. We're watching everything that the enemy is doing, everything that people are doing, and we're living in reaction. But in the kingdom of God, we don't react. In the kingdom of God, we lead and we let them catch up. And what we've ceased to do is to lead. So we complain on Facebook about what the government is saying. We retweet what people are complaining about. We talk about what's wrong, but we're not building. See, what I want to do is build. What I am doing is building. So I don't curse the educational system. I find some young people and the Lord says, mentor them now. So down through the last 20 years, I've got at least 400 that I personally mentored, gave them books to read, taught them how to think, took them back to ancient history, taught them the cultural revolution and evolution of nations, and then pushed them to go forward. So we now have doctors and lawyers, leaders in about 15 different countries who are now leading cities, leading in government, changing the culture because we didn't curse the darkness. We did what Martin Luther King Jr. said, we lit a candle. We've got to outthink the devil. The devil ain't smart, he just old. He's been doing the same thing a long time. God gave us wisdom. Yes. The wisdom of God is smarter than the mind of the devil. You got brains, every one of you. Your brain was created by the master and maker of the universe. Hallelujah. And if you engage your brain with the one who made you, you can outthink the devil, outrun your adversary, and outlive anybody talking crazy right now. And you'll build for God.
What? Okay, a tabernacle? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Hey. Your church is non-denominational. Again, people would assume that we have to be in this particular denomination. And on my show, as you will see, I deal with spirituality, in energy, light workers, metaphysical. Yes. All of that is taking us into this realm of 5D.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand the frequency, the trajectory, where we have to go higher. I mean, this is a whole shift of everything. This is groundbreaking. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I think it's who we already were. Hmm. See, I believe we've been living at a lower level, lower frequency, lower thought pattern. I believe mankind now is trying to catch up to how we thought in the beginning. We're moving in reverse. We were moving with greater thought, greater frequency, greater authority, greater dominion, greater insight. How do you build pyramids without technology unless you use frequency and sound?
Yes.
How do you change culture? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were built with an internal system of moving water and moving large pieces of stone where earth was hanging in the air, not in the ground. And you've got a zoo hanging 500 feet in the air. That's stuff they can barely do now. How did they do it? The technological advancement of bringing sound into harmonics, into dominion, into spiritual thought. We've got to get outside of trying to build new with old tools.
And I tell people all the time, you cannot fight a 21st century war with 1960 tactics.
Come on.
Okay, folks is out there marching. Now, I love y'all marches. Okay, but we talking about cyber intelligence. We're talking about drones going into technology. The millennials are not having this conversation about what color you are. You know, they done advanced to the point where they don't even want to be male or female. They Biden. They non-binary.
Exactly. We're arguing about things that the current generation isn't even thinking about. We're arguing about whether or not you want us in the restaurant because of our skin color. They're arguing about whether to go to the restaurant because of the organics in the ground that they bought product from.
What?
We're arguing about who should be leading us based on Republican or Democrat. They're arguing about who should we trust based on what they're doing with Bitcoin. We have to think different because we're yelling from the edge of the shore when the rest of the world is fighting in the middle of the ocean. We got to get in the middle of this thing, and we're thinking small. We're using, and can I just say this?
Yes.
The best tactic someone can use to make you absolutely obsolete is to get you to fight a battle that is no longer important. We are fighting stuff that is not important. We got to get in the battlefield, on the right field, at the right time. We got to think different.
Yeah. You know, it again, it's back to that strategy. So tell me a little bit about seeing, knowing, professing, and teaching.
Seeing and knowing. The Bible says something that I love. Everything is by faith, but this goes into what you're talking about. To see. Every person who is alive in the earth today is a seer, whether they understand that or not. By our imagination, by what we process in our mind, by our memories, by the traumas or the joys, we have built pictures that we live by. Now, you cannot see your future until you correctly see your past. Until you deal with what you've walked through, the signs that brought you here, until you process them correctly, they will become billboards to your future. You live in a cycle because you've never learned to unsee what the devil wanted you to see so that you never focus on what God was trying to get you to behold. God says, behold. The devil says, look. God says, see. And the devil says, think again. So we've got to see. The hearing and the knowing inside of every person, there is a deep knowledge from God whereby we recognize him the first time we meet him. You may not know God as God, but anybody on the planet who walks outside and looks up at the sun, the moon, and the stars says, somebody made what I cannot control myself. Anyone in the middle of a windstorm and suddenly the storm stops and the sun shines and the birds return, understand that was a plan beyond this storm. But you have to begin to know. There is knowledge beyond my experience. There is authority beyond my pain. Now, the greatest key, you got to connect to it. If you don't connect to the seeing and the knowing, that's the invitation that comes when God says, come on and get to know me. And Jeremiah, what do you see? I see the rod of an almond tree. You have well seen. The word for eye and the word for almond is the same word. So what God was saying, do you see a tree that produces the ability to see? Well, what is that tree? Jesus is lifted up on a tree. If you see what God is doing, you can see past what man is saying. That's where we've got to live. Don't focus on what's losing. Don't focus on what's breaking. See solutions. See answers. See victories. And then see yourself in it. Know that you're part of it and then produce that thing.
His voice is undeniable. Undeniable. You know, it's not like, oh, well, did I think I hear this? Oh, you know.
Come on.
You know, and it's sweet and it's simple. And if you ignore it, that's on you. Okay, that is on you. And each one of us has the ability to connect to that source.
Yes. Yes.
Connect to that source and not be afraid.
One of the sweetest things I love is that God's voice, and I want to say this to those who are listening, God has not been angry with you. God's not mad at folks. We get all this teaching and preaching about how bad God is. God ain't mad. If God was mad, we'd all be dead. If God really wanted to kill you, have you read the Old Testament? God know how to kill.
I don't need to read the Old Testament. I haven't read the newspaper.
So we got to get out of the thought process that God is trying to get me. No, he's trying to restore you. So that voice, it comes in the wind. It sits in the storm. It echoes in the middle of your heart. He sounds in the middle of strangers saying something you recognize. When you're driving, that sign on the billboard that makes you think about what you forgot to do, that's God talking. And if we could just remember, he's so in love with you that he's never going to quiet his mouth until you hear him, so that you can say, Daddy, is that you calling me home? Mm-hmm. Oh, his voice is calling you home. Yeah,
it is. What do you tell people that are right now, because COVID-19 was the perfect pause. To me, it was God saying, you know what? Here, let me pull out my megaphone and put all y'all in timeout. I don't care how cute you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much money you have. Everybody is going to stop and pay attention to what I have to say. Mm-hmm. This is prophesized.
That's right.
Okay. Many plagues. This ain't went away. You see how it's morphing into different things.
Yes.
Diseases. All of this is in Revelations. It is coming to pass. And again, I get nervous because I didn't think that I was going to be living to see it. I thought I was going to be long gone up there trying to grow my wings. And here I am living in the midst of it. I'm not so much worried about the ones that have transitioned. I'm concerned about the ones of us left behind. Can you share a word with us?
Of course. Two things, very simply. Remember this. This COVID situation is the first time since Jesus walked the earth and then died for mankind and the church was born. It's the first time that one event has transformed the thought process of every nation on the planet. Jesus did it on the cross, and the Bible says, you are they who have turned the world upside down. Every nation that was known at that time within 100 years was transformed by Christianity. Now we have a second event, the only other time in the history. Every other war affected many countries, but not every country. Every other storm affected some powers, but not all powers. But now the entire world was shut down, quieted, made still. So I believe God allowed something to happen to get the attention of mankind.
What?
To say to us, you don't have enough money, enough power, enough strength, enough victory to do this on your own. And the Bible says, be still and see the salvation of God. I believe God was revealing to us, there's another move of his spirit, another wave of his voice that he was bringing to us. So I say to those who've been living in fear and terror, you don't need to be worried and afraid. What you've got to do is get your heart right. Just get your heart back to God. Yield yourself to him. Tell him, Lord, I want you. Whatever you have for me, I'll sit still and yield again. How good could your life be if you let the one who gave you breath put some wind in your sails?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And that's me. You know, I've done what I needed to do. I've taken vaccines. I'm sure like you have. We've traveled many countries. We didn't know what that stuff was either. So I took a chance, and I think I'm erring on the side of caution. But I also, before I did anything, I had a word with God.
Yes.
And I said, God, if this is how I am supposed to end this chapter of this life, know that I am a faithful servant and that I come to you humbly, and I thank you. And I praise you through my circumstance.
Yes.
And if that is what is it, that is what is it. We all going to have to go with something, because death is guaranteed.
Oh, yes.
Death is not the end. Death is a transition. Can you tell us about the transition?
Oh, there is nothing sweeter than knowing you and God are in good connection. There's nothing sweeter than knowing when you close your eyes, 2 seconds later, you'll open your eyes in glory. There's nothing like knowing that when you fall asleep here, you'll wake up standing before a throne. There's nothing like knowing that the end of this is but the beginning of something better. That this is just school. This is class. This is the training center. But oh, I'm seated with him. I'm walking with him. He already promised me better than this. And I know his word is true because he promised to meet me in sickness and he brought healing. He promised to meet me in sorrow and he brought joy. He promised to meet me in fear and he brought peace. So when he promised to meet me in death, he brings life everlasting. Don't get weary thinking this is all there is. Oh, don't do that.
Oh my God. They think it's small again. They think it's small again. You have no idea.
Oh.
I asked myself, one of my other guests gave me this mantra. How can it get any better than this? Hmm. And what else is possible?
Yeah.
And I ask myself that often and regularly every single day. And I tell you the things that have just fell at my feet. I haven't even had to look for it. I've questioned it because I'm like, where did this come from? And God says in my ear, my child, didn't you ask me?
Yes.
Didn't you ask me for that? And I'm like, yes. And I remember speaking to my dearly departed mother. I said, Mama, God just gives me everything. She says, oh, no, baby, he don't give you everything. He says, could you imagine if he gave you every single thing you wanted? You'd be a hot mess.
I know that's right.
Okay. And I remember Dr. Cornell West telling me something. He said, you know, baby, the world, he didn't call me baby. He called me sister. Sister April. He said, the world is a difficult place when you enter into it because you come in between defecation and urination and a puddle of blood and slime. Some are forced out, some are cut out, some are pushed out, some come out naturally. But when you arrive, they've given you a party.
Yes.
There's a bright light. They're hugging and kissing you. He says, so when you make that transition to the next life, some are going to be forced out, pushed out, cut out. He says, but know that there is another party and they are there to greet you. And I tell you, that did something to my heart that when my mother passed, as I told you, you know, Prophet Dalton, I was bent, but I wasn't broken.
Yes.
God wouldn't let me just crawl up under a rock and just cry. Now, yes, I was with you. Yesterday was the anniversary of her birthday, but I knew where I was supposed to be. And she was there with me the whole time, sitting right next to me, enjoying every word. And I had said to her, I said, oh, Mama, I said, I haven't been saying my prayers. And she said to me, well, you better, because I want to see you again. And I know that there is a transition. And I thank you so much for the dedication and the personal sacrifice. I know that you know it is a gift, but it is also a personal sacrifice to have the responsibility of not one, not two, but your parishioners, your mentors, and the world looking to you, you know, to be able to deliver these messages. And I'm just so honored that you are here with me. I'm telling you, my heart is so full.
Well, it's my absolute honor. But I just have to say one thing that goes into what you said. Years ago, I was in a time of great sorrow and I was dealing with some things I could not get rid of. And I laid down across the bed and I was weeping, asking God for help. And suddenly, I don't have a lot of visions. I only tell the ones I do have. And I'm laying there and suddenly up above my head, I saw the ceiling begin to, it was like somebody was wrapping up a cloth. The ceiling began to twist and the ceiling opened. And when it did, I saw these clouds and I realized I'm seeing the edge of glory. I saw these clouds like they were a wall. And suddenly the clouds began to roll down to me. And as the clouds rolled down, I saw this older black woman. She was regal. She was stately. And she had white hair and it came down her shoulder. And I knew it was my great aunt who had died several years ago. Not that I was talking to her, but I saw her in heaven. And suddenly I saw another woman stand beside her. And I knew it was my grandmother who had died many years ago. And then my great grandmother, who started the move of God in our family. These three women were standing together. And my great-grandmother looked at me and suddenly I saw tens of thousands of people behind them. And she said, don't you ever give up. Don't you ever back down? Don't you ever let go of your faith? She said, because all of us who are in heaven are cheering for your success and calling out your name. She said, baby, you ain't never by yourself. We might be gone, but we still with you, for you are compassed about by a cloud of witnesses. I got up off the bed weeping like a baby. And I said, God, now I know those that have prayed and gone on before us, they're as close to us as they ever were, for they are held in the hand of God. Oh, yes. There's a party waiting for us.
Yes.
That they've already lit the candles, but they ain't brought the cake. They waiting for us.
I'm telling you, you are the icing on the cake. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And I thank you deeply and completely. Tell us a little bit about your ministry there in Palm Desert. Again, we was talking about the restaurants. I can't wait to go. I can't wait to come down there. But again, I'm going to have to give me a hotel because after all of that, I need a nap.
Listen, you need a hotel. You're going to have to get a pontoon boat. You're going to have to get a small animal with a little backpack to carry you up to the room. We're going to feed you till you just make us leave the room. You hear me? We're going to eat. I believe in eating until all 32 of my teeth just start fighting each other. Just make them fight. Just fight. The Lord has been gracious. I've been now in Palm Springs for about 12 years. And so the ministry is Yes Ministries. For over 22 years, we've traveled around the world with Yes Ministries. We've gone to 63 countries. We've carried the gospel. We've had crusades, healing ministry, teaching on the prophetic, media and outreach. And God has been gracious through building of churches, even hospitals in two different countries, and raising up a generation to know him. That has been my great joy. And so the church is Desert Christian Community Church. It is a beautiful house, multicultural, multi-ethnic, and multi-generational. And we invite anyone who is hungry for a touch to God, come, for the Lord is alive. And he sits in the middle of diversity, and he speaks from heaven clearly. And so that's our heart, but that's what we do. Yes, ma'am.
And do you also have an online ministry? Are you streaming weekly?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So every Wednesday, we have Wednesday in the Word. So if you look up my name, Michael Dalton, or you look up Yes Ministries, you will find many hours of material we've already put out there. But on Facebook and also YouTube, we have that streaming. And so by the grace of God, we're reaching several thousand now on a regular basis, but we want to continue to reach the world. And they're watching from all over the world. And so everywhere from Zimbabwe to England, from Namibia and Kenya to Ghana to Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, Canada, all across America. So come be part of the family. For God said yes. That's how the ministry was born. The Lord said, as long as you live, tell my people. I didn't say no. I said yes. I'll still heal. I'll still deliver. I'll still save. And I'll still set free. Tell them I said yes at the cross. And I'll say yes to them today.
And I'm saying yes to you right now. Brains, you better go back and rewind. Okay, because you are here on the edge with me, April Mahoney, and the prophet, Michael Dalton. You know, go in, explore it. We are not in contrast, okay? We are trying to complement and level you up and give you something that you may never have. Because I'm telling you, your soul will be renewed. As I put on my Facebook post, my soul was infused. Oh. And it really was. And thank you so much. Again, I love you from the bottom of my socks because my heart just isn't deep enough.
Oh, bless you. What an honor. The woman of God, we are praying for you. We speak blessing over you. And to all them brains out there, may God bless you richly. And may he cause your world to explode with favor.
Amen. Amen. All right, brains, get together, okay?